Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Psalm 16, and we looked at the blessing, the spiritual blessing, the inheritance that we have in Christ last week. So we're just going to go over the scripture once more. Psalm 16 and verse 5 to 6. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. This is the truth of you in Christ. This is the truth of a believer. That you have an amazing, rich inheritance. And this scripture says there are boundary lines that have fallen in pleasant places. So your inheritance from God is not small, limited, confined, but it's pleasant, it's vast, and it will take your whole life to enjoy. You'll never come to the end of your inheritance in Christ. It's so amazing. But there are, as scripture says, there are lines. And boundaries speak of lines. Okay, so a boundary line, if you could say a physical boundary line around my house, is the fence or the hedge around it. And actually, I would say the boundary lines for me have fallen in pleasant places, even physically. And those boundary lines are easy to identify when we can see them. There are boundaries on the roads. There's boundaries in nations. But where I live, my property begins and ends with my boundary. It's mine. And what David is saying in this psalm is this is mine. I own this inheritance from God. It's not just a theory. It's my inheritance. It's what I own. Okay? So my home where I live, I own the land. I own the things on the land. I own the house. I own the drive. I even own the car on the drive. Okay, so this is my boundary. And whatever is within those boundaries, I'm essentially responsible for. Okay, so God isn't going to maintain my house. He doesn't come in and clean it whilst I'm asleep in the middle of the night. I have to get the duster and the hoover and maintain the house. Okay, so even though I've got this amazing inheritance, it's my responsibility to look after it and to maintain my boundaries. And in the spirit, there are spiritual blessings that God has released in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that every one of us who are in Christ have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. So there is no limit in terms of what God has given in terms of blessing. God has released his blessing. The word of God, however, gives us our boundaries. The lines have fallen in pleasant places for us in Christ. Now, if you're not born again, the Bible will tell you the lines are not pleasant just yet. Okay, so there are boundary lines that God puts into his word and shows us as we read the word. This is me in Christ. It identifies what belongs to me. It also identifies what's going to happen in the future for my life. And so the word of God is my, you could say, or our boundary. And in Christ, all the promises are yes and amen. There are over 7,000 promises. And we are so blessed not just to have the Holy Spirit, to have all the promises, to have the vastness of all that God has given to us through Christ. We're so blessed. But God has done this for us in Christ, but we have a part to play in maintaining those boundaries. When I was on holiday, we were staying near this really big lake in Northern Ireland, and it was a beautiful sunny day. And some of you may know by now, I quite like boats. They're growing on me. And we decided to hire a boat with a motor. Speed. I like to move fast. So we hired this boat, and before we got into the boat, the guy who was responsible for the boat and we'd kind of rented off, he said, he lifted up the engine and the propeller at the back and he said, "The propeller's fine. If it comes back damaged, you're going to have to pay for it." I was like, okay. Then he said, around the lake, it's a huge lake, but all the way around the perimeter of the lake are these kind of poles with a sign on. One side has got red, the other side, white. And he said, as long as you stay within the white, which was the majority of the lake, as long as I stay within the white, you won't get into trouble. But if you cross the boundary and go into the red, your propeller will hit rocks and you will be responsible for those actions. Now, the word of God, in Christ, we're blessed. It's like we've got this vast lake of blessing we can never come to the end of. But there are boundaries. And if we go into the red, God says, you will deal with the consequences. I am making you responsible for the choices of your life. So we can't blame God when we go into the red. I couldn't have come back and said to the boat owner, look, we hit rocks. Well, why didn't you obey the boundary law? Well, I thought it would be all right. But I told you it wouldn't be all right. Well, do you mind if I don't pay? No, you have to pay because you broke my propeller. The propeller's damaged, you pay. I told you what the consequences would be if you took those steps. For example, you know, the scripture is very clear that believers should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. That means to share life, to be in a close relationship with, particularly boyfriend, girlfriend, with unbelievers. So basically God's saying, I'm setting a boundary line. If you cross that line, which you are free to choose. You understand? You can choose. But if you choose to cross that line, there will be consequences. Okay, so there, God isn't just boundaryless. He has given us boundaries in His Word. And if we stay within the boundaries, we are blessed. The blessing is in the boundaries of His Word. Okay? So if I go outside those boundaries through my own choice, I will deal with the consequences. God is merciful and gracious and forgives. But He waits for us to come back to the white before we're right with Him. We can't stay in the red and ask for forgiveness. So we can't stay in sin and keep staying in sin because we haven't changed our boundary yet. We have to move back into right relationship with God through repentance and confess our sin, and God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the enemy makes us want to think that the red is more attractive than the white. He tries to lure us into the dangerous parts. And God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will never lead you to cross a boundary. Okay? But the blessing, God says, my blessing is within the boundaries. And you are responsible to stay there. You understand? So we are to take responsibility with the blessing. In my property, I can't blame my neighbor if the lawn grows too long and it looks scruffy. You are responsible for your own walk with God. You can't blame the person sitting next to you. He made me do it. She made me do it. You are accountable before God for where you stand with God. And so we are to take responsibility for who we are in Christ. And not just say, God will take care of everything. He says, you guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of your life. So it's up to you to protect your boundaries in Christ. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, let's look there. Genesis 1 verse 28. We're going to have unusual victory after this word. We're going to hear the word and then come into unusual victory. Say unusual victory. Okay. Praise the Lord. Genesis 1, 28. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth. It's incredible. When God made man, he made him to be ruler over all the earth. So he is saying, man, you are responsible for the earth. God is saying, I'm delegating that responsibility to man. So the state of the earth is down to man. Okay. So here we go. You have this authority to rule over all the living creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. And that's not in the image of a monkey. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The authority of the scriptures is the truth that will set you free from behaving like a monkey. We're here to behave like God. If we're created in the image of God, we're here to behave like God. Think like him, speak like him, act like him. Because we're made like him. Thank you, Jesus. It's just that there's a new film out, and I won't be going. God blessed them. So this is what God created, the male and female, he created them. God blessed them. Now, we were seeing last week how in Christ, God has blessed us. To bless somebody, God is empowering them to win. The blessing of Christ in you empowers you to win in life. Equips you to win and succeed. God has never had a plan that you're saved and you fail. His plan is that through the blessing given to you in Christ Jesus, you are empowered to win and empowered to prosper in every dimension of your life. So God blessed them and he said to them, be fruitful and increase in numbers. So God isn't saying, stay small, reduce, just minimize your life around your little self. You see, God never had a plan. Once he created mankind, it wasn't that we would just stay isolated. It would be that we would grow, increase, multiply, rule the earth, and see the kingdom of heaven here established in every realm. So God blessed them. Be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. So God is saying to man, I want you to make sure that within the boundaries I've given you, everything comes under the right rule. I don't want you just to allow things to happen by not taking responsibility. So many marriage breakdowns happen because one or the other partner never took responsibility for being married. Like, you know, a bachelor stays a bachelor. Like, it's another mother. You do my washing, you feed me, you do whatever, and I just come home from work. And it's like, take responsibility. God has placed you in the right way as the spiritual head. And you are there to love and serve and bless and enable your wife and family in the purpose of God. Take responsibility for the spiritual state of your family. Hello? Take responsibility, I'm going to say it again, take responsibility for the spiritual state of your family. Take responsibility for what happens in your home. Don't just let everything go to pot. So in other words, Adam, Eve, you're not to be passive and just stay in this spiritual, I'm receiving from God. You're here to rule, make decisions that will further the purpose of God and see God's will executed in every dimension of life. And you're to subdue what is out of order. If I subdue a dog, I bring it to order so it stops doing the wrong thing. Subdue the earth. Now, we're not to behave like this in relationships with people. All of us are created in the image of God. We are to submit to one another out of reverence for God. Domination in the wrong sense is from a wrong spirit. A spirit of control that wants to push people down. That is not what we're talking about. We're to respect and honor one another. But there is one we are called to subdue. And his name is Satan. And the works of Satan, sickness, strife, disease, terror, fear, we are called to subdue the enemy. And God says, take responsibility, take ownership for the planet, and take responsibility to bring about my will. Vital we see this. You see, what God has done is he's blessed us. Now he says, it's over to you to do it. To use the blessing that I've given you. To bring the earth into subjection to the will of God. Of course, we know that things did go horribly wrong in Genesis 3. That Satan came and tempted man to sin. But I would say that, I just want you to hear this statement. Satan is the ultimate blessing stealer. Satan is the ultimate blessing stealer. Last week we were talking about us being blessing magnets. Satan is a blessing stealer. How did he do that? He tempted man to sin. And then through man giving up the legal right to his position before God, Satan stole that right and became the god of the earth. The ruler of the world. Jesus said, actually, the rule of the world has come, but he has no place in me. Because Jesus stayed sin-free and stayed in his position before God. But what man lost, Jesus came to restore completely, plus a bit more back. Because now we're sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We have been completely restored to our place of responsibility and ownership. You see, there's a malaise that has crept in, I believe, to the church. And that is, we pray when God is saying, you shouldn't be praying, you should be ruling. You should be subduing the enemy. You should be saying, in the name of Jesus, I command you, stop. You know, if somebody comes into my house, my boundary, with a chainsaw to chop a tree down and I haven't asked them to do it, I'll have something to say about it. And what I'll have to say is, get off my land. Because I own this, so won't you have no legal right to be on my land. And you see, Satan comes in and takes stuff from us, and we say, oh, God, please do something about my situation. And God's saying, he's on your land. I gave you the responsibility. You say, get off my stuff. Because I have made you a ruler in Christ Jesus. Now, of course, everything has to come under submission to God within the blessing, within the boundaries of God's will. Remember, we can't move into the red and have authority over the enemy. When we go into the red, the enemy has authority over us. But when we're in the will of God, in the blessing, in the word of God, then we have authority over all the power of the enemy. So, Jesus restored what was lost, but we have to understand we have a spiritual enemy. And that enemy is as real as you are. And Jesus said he's a thief, so he has come to steal your inheritance. The greatest war there is, it is over inheritance. What Jesus died and legally gave you that you have rights to. For example, health. It is the right of a believer. Yes, it's the will of God, but it is the right of a believer. Sometimes get some fight back in you. Peace is a legal right. And the thief comes to steal what God has given you. He comes to rob you and to destroy the blessing if you let him. God has said, I have, Luke 10:19, I have given you. I have given you. So you're not waiting for a handout. If you're waiting for a handout, you're praying about it. But the word says, Luke 10:19, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and, this is even better, nothing will by any means harm you. Let's not just say the first half. I like both. I've got authority over all the power of the enemy. Why? Because I'm in Christ. Why? Because Christ is in victory. And if Christ is in victory, I am. Because where he is, I am. I have been raised in Christ Jesus. I am seated in heavenly places. Yes, by grace I've been saved through faith. But I am in Christ. And so, we have a responsibility to use the authority to ensure the enemy doesn't get our stuff. To set the boundaries where they should be. Not to allow the enemy to move the boundaries in a bit. Because you notice, you know, boundaries move like this a little bit when you're not looking. So this is what the enemy does. Just keep shifting it a little bit more. Another inch. Another inch, one day you wake up with a huge problem. But it didn't happen overnight because the enemy kept stealing your boundary. And so we need to stop him at the first inch. And say that you are not coming in to my garden or my house because God has given me a delightful inheritance. It's legally mine and heaven will back me. See, the police will back your boundary. The law will back it physically. They'll say, oh, there's a boundary dispute. I have to take it. You can find the documents, legal documents there. That's your boundary. But your boundaries in the spirit will be backed up by God and his word. If you're honoring God and his word, God will back you. But it is for you to take hold of the authority and tell the enemy to leave. I read about a guy called Gregory. And recently he was a pope actually. But gosh, he was a believer. He was one of us, born again. And they're not all, are they? And Gregory, I think it was about the 1300s. Don't quote me on that, but I think it was the 1300s. He was a man of prayer, a man of faith. And he went to visit the abbot and his kind of territory, his little monastery with big garden. Because they all used to have big gardens, didn't they, where they used to grow their stuff. And so they would live by their gardening, really, the produce of the land. And Gregory, they called him Gregory the Great, which I think is a fantastic name. Fancy being called Greg the Great. Wouldn't you like the Great after your name? He was a man of signs and wonders. Come on. Incredible. Anyway, the abbot, he was in a bit of a downward turn. His crops were failing. And he was sharing with Gregory about his crops, saying, the problem is caterpillars have come in to my garden and are completely destroying the garden. So there is absolutely nothing to eat because the caterpillars get there first. So Gregory stood up and said, in the name of Jesus, I command every caterpillar to leave your garden. I don't know what happened. I'd love to have been able to have seen a movie, you know, all the caterpillars like, oop. I don't know what happened. Well, maybe they were zapped. I don't know which you'd prefer. I think I'd prefer to see them marching out. Yes. Not one caterpillar stayed. He was saying, you're not having my veggies. You can apply that to every area, your finances, your marriage, your children, their salvation, drugs, alcohol. You're not having. This is my legal right. You're not having it. And the crops began to be able to produce for the whole kind of, all the monks were happy. They got their food. But you see, Satan has come in to steal. Jesus says, I've come to give you life, life in all its fullness. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have given you the authority. You see, we sometimes just forget that we are in a spiritual war. We deal so much with the five senses, with what we see, what we feel, what we think, what the climate around us is saying, you know, that oh, we really are in a spiritual decline. We just agree with what the devil wants us to agree with so that he can move our boundaries by us agreeing with his word. We're here to agree with God's word. That in every season I will be blessed. But you see, many of us give up the right to rule because of our words. We just make statements of unbelief and the enemy just comes in because the Bible says you will have what you say. And so Satan wants to steal your rich inheritance. He wants to steal your fruit. He wants to steal multiplication. Because God has called us to be fruitful and multiply. We are anointed to be fruitful and multiply. We're anointed to change the world. We're anointed to make disciples. We have been blessed, empowered to do all that God has called us to do. Got any believers here? And so we are here to destroy the works of the devil. Mark chapter 16, just let's read this. Don't you just love that kind of faith? Caterpillars in the name of Jesus leave. Have you ever tried it with a fly? You know, flies come round at sort of summertime. In the name of Jesus, go! Just zzzz, and you're trying to concentrate. Zzzz, 10,001. Zzzz. In the name of Jesus, leave. You're on my territory. It's affecting me. We're here to affect the devil, not him to affect us. Thank you, Jesus. Mark 16, verse 15. Jesus is giving us some boundaries here. He said to them, go into all the world. That's the same boundary Adam had. The whole world. Go into all the world. Preach the good news to all creation. That's the good news about Jesus. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. They're the boundaries. Clear. If you don't believe in Jesus, you will be condemned. But if you do, you will be saved. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. It's important we understand that is relevant today. It's vital we understand that we are not just a social gospel, but we're a gospel of power and we have authority to deal with demon possession, people who are afflicted and tormented, people who have behavioral problems. Often the root is demonic. I give you, in my name, the authority to cast out demons. Now, we need to be operating in wisdom and in discernment, but we also need to know that everyone in this room has that commission from Jesus. That means everybody in Christ. If you're not a believer, don't try it. It will not work. And it might go wrong. But as believers, we have authority. So to cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues. I love it that Jesus spoke about tongues. It's not just in the book of Acts. Here it is in Mark's gospel. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it won't hurt them at all. So in other words, natural things which are sent to destroy you won't harm you. Not just spirits, but it would look like a snake bit you or something happened naturally. Jesus says it won't harm you. It won't destroy you. It's just so important we believe this, guys. Not just say, oh, I don't know about this. It won't hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will recover. They will get well. So we're all healers. We're all deliverers, we're all tongue speakers, and we're all nothing will harm us. Same boundary word for all of us. Isn't that great? This is the boundary lines falling in pleasant places. I would call this a great place to live. That even if I am bitten, I won't be harmed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, Jesus said, these signs will follow. But he does say it's those who believe. Now, I just want to just home in a little bit before we really do some damage to what the enemy has been trying to do to some of our stuff. Turn to Mark chapter 3. Oh, sorry, Mark 9. Jesus is coming down and he sees the disciples with a large crowd, and it's starting in verse 14. Mark 9, verse 14. Comes down, sees his disciples, large crowd around them, the teachers of the law arguing. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing about?" he asked. A man in the crowd said, "Teacher, I brought you my son." Now, the interesting thing is this man doesn't say he needs a doctor. He actually perceives the problem is the enemy. It's very interesting. The perception there is true, because Jesus affirms that and casts out a demon. So the man knows that the problem causing a physical ailment is a demon. Okay, so he says, "My son, possessed by a spirit that has robbed him." Who robs? Who's the thief? Satan. He's robbed him of his speech. "Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out that spirit, but they couldn't." So this is a very, really difficult situation for the disciples, and I've been there. I've been in situations where I failed. And it's not easy to deal with, especially when you have a parent who absolutely loves their child, or a situation of crisis in somebody's life, and you haven't seen the victory. I'm sure we've all faced times where we didn't see that victory. And we see here, and in a way, it's helpful to see that the disciples at this point didn't have what it took for this particular issue. Now, it's also really interesting to note that Jesus didn't sit the disciples down and saying, "Well done for trying. I'm really glad you tried." Trying is the most part of it. He didn't. Now, we know God is love, but we also know that he wants us to live with the right mindset and the right way. So he comes straight back to them with, "Oh, unbelieving generation." Now, to a Jew, that means a lot. It means that the first generation coming out of Israel never went into the promised land because of unbelief. So they went and died in the wilderness. But Joshua and Caleb, who had a different spirit, a spirit of faith, entered. They couldn't enter the promised land. They couldn't enter because of unbelief. And Jesus is saying to the Father and to the disciples and to the teachers and to the vicars, "Oh, generation." He's talking about everybody there. He's lumping them together. Unbelieving generation. But aren't you glad that God just doesn't walk away from us? Because he starts to work still with the situation. Jesus continues to work with his situation. And he actually says, "How long must I be with you?" Because he knew he was going, and all that he wanted to happen on the earth was down, once he'd gone, to people. Because the responsibility of seeing the kingdom come, he has entrusted to believers. That's why we have to take ownership of our world. And so he says, "How long must I be with you? I've still got to train you. Bring the boy to me." They brought the boy. Immediately it saw Jesus. The spirit saw Jesus. Now, it's interesting. They weren't afraid of the spirit wasn't afraid of the disciples, because it was like, no bother. They're not alert spiritually. Jesus, when the spirit saw Jesus, there was a manifestation. Now, if you've seen a person in this state, it is very attention drawing. I have seen people in this state, foaming at the mouth, rigid. It's a horrible thing to see. And so the whole manifestation is really drawing attention to the problem. And Jesus doesn't immediately deliver the boy, because Jesus cannot work where there is unbelief. Remember in Nazareth, he did very few miracles because of their unbelief. So he now has to work on the father, to encourage his faith. So he begins this dialogue. He tries to take the father's attention off the boy and says, come on now, talk to me, look at me. If you like, can I have a little bit of an illustration? Sam, would you mind standing up? And Ashley, do you mind being... Okay, now imagine, Sam, you are God, right? Elevated. You, Ashley, are the problem. Not for long, but just for this. Could you just stand right in front of Sam and block him to me? Turn around to me. You see, now, I can be facing something in my life, a problem. And if that problem is in my face, I can't see Jesus. And so what Jesus does to the father, instead of looking at his boy in whom the evil spirit is taking all the attention, Jesus says, come on now, talk to me. So in other words, try and get the problem out of the way, get talking with me. Now, for me, that's the simplest explanation of faith. Because when you are looking at your problem, you are not in faith. That's why it's looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Looking at the problem, what the devil is doing. I chose you because you're a big guy. The problem becomes a giant. Whereas to me in Christ, you're an ant. But he's trying to make me think I'm a grasshopper and he's a giant. It's wrong order. I mean, how dare you think you're bigger than me in Christ? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. But I must change my focus and get talking with Jesus. Thank you, guys. Then I will see a victory, because faith is the key to using authority. Not just authority, not just empty quotes. Devil, I told you to stop, please stop. You know, imagine looking at that boy, foaming at the mouth, saying, in the name of Jesus, stop, please stop. In the name of Jesus, please stop. You're speaking with fear. The spirit behind it, you're scared of what's going on. This is good training this morning. Training for raining. And so you've got to get your eyes off what the enemy is doing. And he'll create an amazing sideshow to try and get your attention. He is the master of distraction. He's an angel of light. And so he comes in numerous disguises to try and pull you off your focus, which is Jesus. Okay, so Jesus says, he comes to talk to the father. Jesus asks the boy, Father, how long has the child been like this? And so from childhood, it's often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us. I mean, here we are, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, creator of all things, if you can. The father says, if you can. You and I both know God can. Yes. Don't we? God can do anything. God can do all things. And this father's faith has been so worn down by the problem. And Jesus actually immediately throws back, if you can, everything is possible. He doesn't say for me. Because he is saying, I require people to believe. So he says, not everything is possible for me, because of course it is. But everything is possible for him who believes. You need to love that word and not say, oh no, not that word condemns me. It doesn't condemn you, it helps you. The word is given to help you. Jesus is trying to help this father into a miracle. And actually, the father moves to a faith confession of sorts. Because before he said, if you can, now he says, I do believe. So conversation with Jesus, having this almost, having this confrontation. I love the word to confront me. The word coming to this man saying, everything is possible for him who believes. So, matey, if you believe your son can be well, if you believe this can happen. And so the father says, I do believe, help me in my unbelief. And Jesus doesn't mind that because it actually the miracle happened. So he says, I do believe. I believe you can do it. I believe it will happen. So Jesus needed a tiny mustard seed faith. He got what was needed in that situation. Because he wants to work with your faith. Because he is saying, you take ownership of the problem. You are responsible to take authority. Now Jesus isn't going to cast out demons. You are. Thank you, Jesus. Because he now lives in you. Christ now dwells in you for the reason of bringing the victory of the cross into the world. Thank you, Jesus. You see, we know we have the authority, but it doesn't work without faith. Faith empowers authority. And Jesus, when he saw the crowd running to the scene, he delivered the boy. And verse 28, can we just read this? After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? And he said, this kind can only come out by prayer. Now I believe this is a key to moving to a new level of authority. How do you want to move to a new level of authority? We know we've been given all authority, but a new level of the release of the authority. The release, the reality of the manifestation. Jesus said, if you want to come into greater things, more power, more release of authority, it'll happen through the root of prayer. Because if prayer is communion with God, remember me standing in front of Sam talking? Just talking to Jesus is enough to bring me to faith. Talking to Jesus through his word, faith comes from hearing, hearing is what, I just need to say, Jesus, help me, I want your Bible to change me, I want your word to change me. Faith will come. I'll just start to allow him to speak to me, I'll hear his word, and I'll come to faith. So actually, communion with Jesus, prayer, brings me into greater faith. And it's the faith and authority that gets the victory. Not the prayer, but the prayer is the route to greater release of authority. So we can't just use our authority, in the name of Jesus, stop, in the name of Jesus, stop. We have to use it with faith. Because everything is possible for him who believes. Now I've got a little dust buster with me today. Here's my dust buster. And it's a fantastic piece of equipment. I'm wanting to talk about devil busting today, not dust busting. So we are actually talking about devil busting. But this is my dust buster, which is really handy because it stores up power and it can go and do a job wherever I want it to, in my car or my dining room or wherever I need the power, it's there. Whenever I need the power, it's there. But this dustbuster is losing power. It has the ability to hoover. You have the ability to drive out demons. But you need to get back into prayer. In the name of Jesus, come out. In the name of Jesus, stop. Please stop. Do you mind stopping? Okay, go on then. You see, I believe in the power of prayer because it means contact with God that changes you and me. And a prayer life builds faith because God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Getting into prayer, the secret place, empowers you so that when you go out, you just say, in the name of Jesus, you're back at full power, and you say, I command you to stop. Any caterpillars, leave. Any sickness, go. Any rebellion in my house, go now. Anything breaking down relationships, breaking down family life, in the name of Jesus Christ, I am taking ownership of the environment in my home. And I am saying no. Yes, of course. If a believer is in the red, they must repent and come back within the boundaries. Sin needs to be forgiven. But submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see, the devil wants your stuff. He wants your blessing. I'm going to finish with just a little bit more understanding on how the enemy works. Because Satan uses words to try and steal from you. People don't really understand, and it's so important you understand that Satan speaks words to actually steal your stuff, to get you believing what he is saying. In 2 Corinthians, the scripture says that we are here to cast down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself up against the knowledge of God. And so these words that come from Satan into your mind are imaginations. So the devil gets you imagining yourself dying, imagining yourself poor, imagining yourself lonely, imagining yourself or your children in a terrible state, or imagining an accident. They're the wrong kind of imaginations. Never came from God. He also gives reasonings so that you sit and reason why you're feeling like you are. And as you meditate on the reason why you're feeling like you are, you begin to sink lower and lower. Rather than meditating on how blessed you are, you become negative in your thinking. And that negativity steals your faith. It'll eventually come out of your mouth and you will speak death over your life through negativity. Because life and death are in the power of the tongue. This is quite a long session today, but are you up for this? You see, words. Satan uses words. He uses knowledge. Knowledge that says, well, I'm sure doctors know better. Knowledge that says there can't be demons involved in this. You see, that is your knowledge, not the knowledge of God. And pride, the pride of man is so powerful because we like to think we're right. And the devil loves us to think we're right. Because as long as we're in pride, we lose. But if we submit our mindset to the word of God, we win. And we'll see a victory. Because our weapons are not carnal, but mighty in God. They're not natural weapons, they're spiritual weapons. Thank you, Jesus. Satan wants to take your mind captive by speaking negative words. It's our responsibility to cast them down. Satan uses words of accusation. I don't think I've ever known a year like this last year. Of absolutely moving out resolvedly into the harvest. And of accusation. I have never been, apart from in the early stages of my Christian life and call, when I said yes to follow Jesus, I've never had so much personal accusation. Who is the accuser of the brethren? What does he use? He uses words. Where do those words come from? Often through believers. That's a travesty. That we should accuse one another and actually do Satan's work by tearing down what God has blessed. Accusations actually And I've known a few people in the church recently, not just one, quite a few. And this is why I believe it's a strategy aimed against us. Because accusation diminishes the reputation of a person or a church. If somebody is accusing you, it's actually an attack on your character. You ever been accused for being a bad father, a bad husband, a bad wife? Satan uses words to diminish you. Now, if you have sinned, you must get right with God before you deal with the devil. But we are not here to stand accused all of our lives. And the spirit of accusation or criticism, a critical spirit, you must not allow to come into your life. You must never criticize this church. Can I repeat that? You must never criticize this church and this leadership. God has not called you to judge. And if you hear criticism, then you walk away. Just as you would with somebody you loved, and they criticize them. You see, we are lovers of God, lovers of His church, and protectors of the brethren. But Satan uses words to destroy somebody's future. He gives somebody a bad report so they can't get a job in the future. That is the work of the devil. We are not allowing him on our boundary. We're not going to give him voice on our territory. We're going to say, you're on our land, get off. And anyone who tears down on a regular basis this body, I will, and have the authority to, as overseer of this church, remove. Because God is building His church. And we are not going to have criticisms, backbiting, gossiping, negativity, saying, hey, well, I don't think they're any good, or whatever. We're here to bless, that we might receive a blessing. Because you reap what you sow. Praise the Lord for the victory. And so words of accusation are aimed at diminishing you, at destroying your reputation. You know, somebody has accused you and your friends find out what's been... There's a little bit of suspicion if they take it on. Well, I've heard this. Have you heard that? No smoke without fire. Sometimes there is, guys. Sometimes there's no fire and there's lots of smoke, and that's the devil. Come on. We're here to be positive, to be a blessing, to speak blessing. And I know God is honoring this word this morning. I know this is the word of the Lord. For us as a church to move forward, we need to make sure we don't allow the enemy to come onto our territory and to allow any spirits to come in and criticize and attack. Or you personally, if you have been under accusation, understand it's your responsibility to get those spirits off your land. Because you've got authority over all the power of the enemy. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So, God has blessed us. God says, this is now your responsibility to walk in faith, to walk praying, so that you stay close to me and build up your faith on a daily basis. Stay charged. So that when you use authority, the faith it comes out of is enough to really see that victory enforced. It is the victory of faith that overcomes the world. Not just your words, the words of faith. And God wants to build your faith in areas where you need to see victory. so that the enemy will be defeated. But he also wants you to take ownership and say, hey, devil, I've had enough of you and your caterpillars. You're not coming in and spoiling my peace. You see, the devil wants to steal your peace. It's like, no way, you are not having my peace, you're not having my joy, you're not having my health, you're not having my children, you're not having my money, you're not having my job, you're not having anything that God has promised me. In the name of Jesus, leave! Amen. And that is a vital reality for us to advance the kingdom of heaven. Let's stand together, shall we? Thank you, Jesus.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.